Every major policy shift from government leaves a trail of implications, some for good, but sadly, many for evil. The U.S. Supreme Court has bowed to interest groups and found gay marriage as valid as heterosexual marriage. The damage this will do to the kids of America is a story yet untold. Today, more of the fallout from tragic court rulings that upend public morality. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Now, Erwin Lutzer comes with more of a clarion call message on God, the Supreme Court, and the unthinkable.
Let me say also, secondly, as one of the implications, is this has huge implications for children. Huge implications. You know, the Bible says that children are given to parents, and the parents should bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, teach them to fear the Lord. Every little girl and every little boy longs for a daddy and a mommy, so that the daddy can be there as the protector and as mommy is there. And please don't try to tell me that some survey shows that two men can take care of a baby with the same love and tenderness as a mother can, whether biological mother or adoptive mother. But please don't tell me that they can do it as well. We are living in a culture now where by law, or at least by the implication of the law, we are okay with institutionalizing the idea that a child can have two mothers without a father, and you know what fatherlessness does to society, or two fathers without a mother. We are breaking down the very basis upon which God created us and what God put into the hearts of every child. And folks, you as parents, you are losing your authority as a parent. The idea that you can have some kind of control as to what is taught in your public school, that has already been going and gone for a long time, and you won't have authority over it. Whatever the state now decrees regarding this, it'll be a matter of civil rights, it'll be a matter of non-discrimination. Your children will have to accept. And then, of course, beyond that, you never know what's going to happen. I was in Colorado recently, and I do know that Denver is the city within Colorado, by the way. And someone handed me a news article, which you can find on the internet. There was a boy in a Denver school who was born a boy, but because he was transgender, at the age of six now, we're talking about age of six, and thought of himself as a girl, he wanted to use the girls' washroom, and the school said no. But the ruling of the state civil rights division, which enforces anti-discrimination laws, decreed that he was a victim of illegal discrimination. And so he can go into a girls' washroom. Because according to the report, he was now in an environment that is objectively and subjectively hostile, intimidating, or offensive. Now, what the school said is you can use other washrooms. You can use the nurse's washroom. You can even use the teacher's washroom. But you should not go into the girls' washroom because you were born a boy. And then the report says compartmentalizing a child as a boy or a girl solely based on their visible anatomy is simplistic. It's a simplistic approach to a difficult and complex issue. This isn't the first time this has happened. Months ago, I read of situations in which boys, teenage boys, were able to go into girls' washrooms because they said that they were transgender. And if they couldn't, there was discrimination and unfairness. And if the girls complained, no possibility of being able to respond to that. That's your fault because you are discriminating and you are bigoted regarding someone's sexuality. We don't know where all this will lead, but it's coming to a school near you. Implications for freedom of religion, absolutely huge implications. Already it's happening. I'm thinking of New Mexico, Elaine Photography. She and her husband were Christians, independent photography studio. They were asked to photograph a same-sex marriage. They wouldn't do it. They did give indications as to what photography studios would fine $7,000 because of a civil rights issue and violating the state's civil rights code. Expect more of that. Christian organizations will not be able to discriminate. If you have people who, after they have come to you or before they have come to you, are in a same-sex relationship, you'll have no recourse, none. Churches, apart from the pastor and apart from those who teach, will not have the ability to terminate somebody who's in a relationship like that. And chaplains in the military forced to perform same-sex marriages or else get out of the chaplaincy. Tax-exempt status for churches, that'll be on the line. There's no doubt as we watch the unthinkable become thinkable, that's where this is headed. When I was at the National Religious Broadcasters meeting some time ago, there was a Canadian pastor who has a television program in Canada, because Canada is further along this line even than we are. And he happened to preach on Romans chapter 1, and instantly his program was taken off the air. He was not permitted to come back unless he promised that he would not refer to those passages of Scripture. So he is back on the air. But here's the interesting thing, and this is going to become more difficult for Christians. How do we navigate these issues of conscience? Because I can see one person take the point of view, if I can't preach the whole Scriptures, I'm going to stay off the air. On the other hand, you can preach the gospel easily without referring to these same-sex issues. Therefore, do you go ahead and preach the gospel? You know, sometime, if I have wisdom enough, I was thinking about it this week, I'd like to preach a sermon entitled Conflicts of Conscience, because many of us as Christians are going to be in that kind of a predicament. Where do we compromise reasonably, and where can we not? Conflicts of conscience. Well, all that by way of introduction. Now what I'd like to give you is seven directives that we must follow as a church. Where do we go? That's the question you're asking, isn't it? I'm glad that you are, because I would like to respond to that question. Number one, we have to be an informed community. We have to be an informed community. Now, when I speak about being an informed community, I just don't mean that we should know what's going on. The media tells us that, sometime with a huge bias, but nonetheless, we get our news. I mean, we have to take a step back. We have to take a deep breath of air and ask ourselves, what has the Christian church been doing for 2,000 years? And what we'll discover is that throughout the history of the Christian church, beginning in Rome, the church has always been an island of righteousness in a sea of paganism, and has had to put up with discrimination, conflicts of conscience, and death throughout 2,000 years of history. Will you remember that? I like to tell people that after the Reformation, we're speaking about after the 1500s and during the 1500s, because there were rebaptizers who believed that you should be baptized upon confession of faith rather than infant baptism. And I know that some of you are baptized as infants, and I don't want to open that discussion in this message. I'm only telling you what happened. Because infant baptism was a symbol of Christendom, the union of church and state, there were decrees and laws that all those who would not have their infants baptized should be put to death. And those who were rebaptized, like the Zurich City Council says, they must be put to death by burning, fire, or drowning. And Felix Mons was drowned. But here's the point I want to make. Throughout Europe, more Anabaptists or rebaptizers were massacred than all of the persecutions in ancient Rome. You know, we say to ourselves, oh, really? Yeah, oh, really? I had a scholar who lived in Europe for a while studying tell me that. Now just think about that. I mean, here you live in this village and people are coming to massacre you, and your little children are crying up and saying, Mommy and Daddy, protect me, protect me. But there is no protection. You're all massacred. That's the history of the Christian church. This morning we had a video here in church, and did you hear what was said? When it was said that a wife believed on Jesus, her husband killed her, and then didn't he say that he was going to kill the person who introduced her to Jesus? That's the way it is all over the world, especially throughout the Middle East and in North Korea. So folks, we still have it so good. Let us count our blessings. Let us take a deep breath and thank God for the opportunity of being alive at this hour. I couldn't help this week but think of the fact that I could have been born in a different era. And just to think, I get to be alive at this moment of history. For that, I'm deeply grateful. Listen to the words of 1 Peter. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening unto you. But rejoice in as much as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the spirit of glory and God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time the judgment to begin at the household of God, and if it begins with us, what will the outcome be of those who don't obey God? Join 2,000 years of church history, and let us be grateful for the opportunity of living at this moment of history in the great United States of America.
This is Pastor Lutzer. Yes, it is a wonderful opportunity for us to be the church at this particular hour of history as we are experiencing a moral freefall. What I try to do in this message is to give some perspective to the Supreme Court decision. Even as we see freedom of religion being marginalized and no longer what it once was, we need to understand that our brothers and sisters around the world suffer because of the cause of Jesus Christ. And clearly, it appears as if we are on our way to that particular destination. So the question that we need to ask is this: what does faithfulness look like in a nation that has forgotten God? I believe that the United States of America is actually under the judgment of God. We can't explain what is happening in Washington unless we realize that. But we are called to faithfulness. I want you to have a copy of this message. Share it with your friends. Listen to it perhaps even more than once, so that you have a reason for the hope that is within you. Spread the word and share the gospel. Thank you so much for joining us, and please stay tuned, because in a moment we're going to be giving you some very important information.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Today, Erwin Lutzer brought more of God, the Supreme Court, and the Unthinkable, a call to action at a crucial point in American history. Next time, this message continues. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Today's message can be yours on CD, sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about God, the Supreme Court, and the Unthinkable. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.